Kalinowski, Sam Nation Live. Talk Radio 790 KABC 800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the program, sam@samnation.com is the email. Yes, it's Tuesday, back from the Labor Day weekend. I appreciate your patience as I took a few days off. I went to a conference in Nevada, in Las Vegas, of all places. And yes, it's something different being in Vegas when you're there for work. So I did that and then had a great Labor Day weekend. Really enjoyed it. Hope you all did as well and enjoyed 3 days with family and friends. Let me tell you about this DACA thing. Because DACA was dead since June of last year. Nobody's talking about this. Everybody wants to make this about Trump. Okay, DACA is the Documented Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals is what it's called, and it's for undocumented immigrants' kids. So the idea is mom and dad come to the country, or mom comes to the country, dad comes to the country with a child. And that child grows up here. The child is in every way, shape, or form, basically, except for the piece of paper, which is important, kind of an American kid. The problem is that piece of paper is important. And as of right now, the law of the land is you need to be documented. If you want to be in the country, if you want to stay here, if you want to work in the country, there is law that governs this. And that immigration law is set by Congress. Now, I said that DACA was dead as of June of 2016, over a year. What happened then? Well, at some time before June, 24 states, so not an insignificant number, 24 states got together and they sued the federal government over DACA, which was an executive order put out by none other than Barack Obama. And Obama did something in that order, and forget about the result, because everybody wants to frame this as a compassion issue. This is a legal issue. The way he put the order, what it did is it conferred positive benefits on a class of people circumventing Congress. You can't do that. Executive orders are for action that can be put out there by the executive branch, by the White House and everything the White House controls. Presidents have enormous power by virtue of the Constitution. They just can't pass laws. And how do I know? And, you know, by the way, if you you'd have to be a lawyer necessarily to explain this to your friends. I'll tell you how you can explain to people why this was the president passing law. And that's because every clip of Obama talking about this Dreamers Act, this DACA deal, every time he said, what was his explanation? I needed to do this because Congress failed to act. So the whenever you hear this is code, right? It's not even code. It's just flat out admission that Congress didn't do something, which in this case was pass a law that would change existing law. If Congress wanted to do, and this is where laws have to come, they have to come from Congress. Because it was a material change to the law and it conferred positive benefits to a group of people. The president cannot do that unilaterally. I don't want to get stuck here in the weeds of legal mumbo jumbo. I'm just telling you, you had Obama out there saying, hey, Congress wasn't doing his job. And, a good thing I stepped up with my executive order pen. Can't do it. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court at the time only had, I skipped a step. So the 24 states sued. And a judge, a federal judge, said, yeah, I'm going to put a temporary injunction in place. And the issue then got appealed up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court at the time was down a justice. Instead of 9 justices, they have 8. Now, do you know why they have 9? Well, the idea is that if you've got an odd number of justices, you're not going to have ties. Or you'll always have a tiebreaker. Provided that all 9 justices participate. Well, they were down a justice. Gorsuch hadn't been appointed and put in yet. So nine justices, with Scalia having passed away. And the court ruled very predictably 4-4. Now, in the event of a tie, this is how these things work. In the event of a tie in the Supreme Court, which doesn't happen very often, what happens? You have to send the thing back down to the lower court's ruling, whatever it is, stands. But it does not establish precedent. So it does not, there's no new law formed. It's just basically whatever happened in the lower courts stays in effect. This is very important. That decision came about in June 23rd, 2016. And at that moment, the injunction stood. So from about June 23rd, 2016, just from a strictly legal standpoint, DACA was dead. It was dead as a doornail. It was basically shot down by the courts, and any further enforcement of it, or I would say in this case, any lack of, you know, acting on it, which in this case would be granting these 2-year deferrals to the children of undocumented immigrants, meant what? Meant that the president, the executive branch, was acting in contravention of law. It's not a good place to be. So the real issue, the whole thing here, is so blown out of ridiculous proportion. I mean, how many people have you heard say this? None. I've been watching cable news all afternoon. And I'm sitting there and I'm yelling at the television because nobody's framing it this way. In fact, what's the number one gripe? That Trump is a racist. You know, I don't watch The View, but producer Robbie found, this is great. Don't let him tell you otherwise. It's his favorite show. So here's what Joy Behar said on The View today about Trump ending DACA. Listen.
A lot of these kids or people, whoever, whatever ages they are from Sweden or Norway. They're all from these brown, so-called brown country. Call it brown people who brown are not people. White, non-white people. So there's racism involved here. And why don't they just admit it?
Yeah, why don't they just admit it? Trump hates brown people. And you know, this argument in various forms, I've heard all afternoon. And it infuriates me. Because the premise, by the way, what a racist this woman is, huh? The idea that all undocumented immigrants are not white. Now, I can speak about this from some degree of experience. You know I'm Czech. I speak Czech. It is I'll call it a niche language. There's only 10 million of us or so in the whole world. So do you know how excited I get when I'm in the store somewhere and I hear somebody talking in Czech? Speaking in Czech, and I listen in, and sometimes I catch them actually talking about me. It's humorous. I'll let them talk, and then, you know, yeah, good. So, but do you know how many times I'll run into people? I mean, I know this, and then we strike a conversation. I know all the time I run into young Czech people mostly who are here illegally. They've overstayed their visa some years ago. They're raising kids. Those kids are in elementary school. They're no less unlawful in what they're doing. I didn't bring my VistaPaint color wheel to check the, you know, what shade they are, but they're definitely not brown in the sense of Joy Behar is saying. And that is true for, I don't know about Sweden, shoot, but certainly the Eastern Bloc, 100%. Now, it's not in the same numbers because we have a porous, large border here right to the south of us. So it's a lot easier for people from Mexico and from Central America to come up. But the idea here that this is a racist thing is absurd. This is a practical thing. The federal government right now is acting, if they continue to enforce DACA, the Obama-era executive order, it's donezo. They're going to get sued, number one. Number two, I think there's a political component to this, and it's not pandering to Trump's racist, xenophobic base. It has everything to do with taking an issue that Congress wants. Trump knows that Congress wants this. You heard it. You heard it today. Everybody, bipartisan agreement. Everybody wants this DACA thing. Okay. It's so funny. Everybody in Capitol Hill is whining for DACA to get done and is criticizing Trump. But these are the buffoons that have it in their power and ability to pass laws. Congress literally can pass law. And do you know why it doesn't get done? Because this bill is exactly the DACA is exactly what its supporters claim it isn't. It is backdoor amnesty. It does allow people who came here illegally to stay. Strip everything away from it, and it is that. And that is why it hasn't gotten through Congress, because no congressman, listen to this, no congressman wants to hang the albatross that is amnesty around their necks. You know, Jeff Flake, senator from Arizona, he's out there criticizing this. But you know, when push comes to shove, do you think in the Senate, if a bill comes up from the House, which I doubt it would, but if a bill comes up from the House to the Senate, you think he wants this around his neck? Certainly not with an election coming up. No way, no how, because Arizonians overall do not support this. And that's it. That's the final point here. Ultimately, it's not about anything other than the polling. If there is a bill that the American public supports and that individual constituencies of Congress support, if people want it, in other words, it'll happen. It'll come together. Congress will make it happen. That's what this comes down to. But it can't happen. This particular type of change to our system cannot happen unilaterally from the president. Just not possible. Remember how much the libs and lefts kicked and screamed over Obama's temporary restrictions on immigrants, which is constitutionally within his power. They kicked and screamed and shouted and everything. And here the president was doing what? What did Obama do? He changed the law. He literally changed the law and declared a class of people exempt from the law, It was an insane overreach. And it would have certainly, look, with the present Supreme Court, if this went back up to the Supreme Court with Gorsuch in place, no way, no how would it pass. So what is important here? What's the crazy? The crazy thing is that this was dead. It's been dead for a year and a half, a year and 3 months. It's been dead as a doornail. But what people want to do, you heard Joy Behar and the screaming that Trump is against brown people. Any opportunity they have right now to beat Trump up, they'll do it. But I think Trump here, he recognizes that if he sends this back to Congress, and this is something that Congress wants, that's what he's doing. By throwing out the executive order, whose job is it to act now? Congress. And if you're Trump and you've got, what does he want? He wants a border wall. He wants tax reform. He wants to kill Obamacare. I mean, he's got serious legislative points, to-dos, if you will, that he wants done. So what do you want? What do you do when you want to poke Congress to act? Well, maybe what you do is you take something that they want, or at least they seem to say that they want it, and make them get to work. And being, if he's going to play deal maker, say, look, I'll sign DACA. I'll sign a new version of DACA. But you've got to give me something that I want. I don't know. I see in it potentially some political machinations. But the way this entire thing is framed is just patently absurd. Oh, Jesse Jackson. No, you guys don't want to go anywhere. You know, Jesse Jackson, he's still alive. I didn't realize this. No, he is. And he actually spoke out for this. And he had, well, you're going to have to figure out if you can even understand what he's talking about. We've got a great clip coming up about this. All right, so don't go anywhere. We're going through DACA. We're going to get to everything here, explain it all to you. I got some great clips. Up next with Jesse Jackson, you're not going to want to miss this. All right, Sam Rogowski live, Talk Radio 790 KABC, back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So we're talking about DACA. News today, of course, that President Trump has rescinded an Obama-era executive order which allowed for the children of illegal immigrants who grew up in this country to apply for these two-year extension periods, if you will. I mean, they're just deferred, you know, stays of execution, if you will. I mean, that's all it was. But anyway, long story short, the reaction is insane. And part of this conversation, of course, is criticizing Trump's views on immigration, which I suspect. And one of those views, of course, is that if we're going to admit aliens of any type, that we should have certain standards set, that they have a skill, that they speak English, that they show prospects that they will integrate and be productive members of society. And there was a predictable voice of opposition to Trump, and that was from none other than the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Now, you've got to listen to this because Jackson does not speak very clearly. If you have heard him before, you know that he mumbles. So I will be here to translate for you after this clip if you miss any of it. Producer Robbie, roll the tape.
Trump says you must be able to speak language English, qualified, and have a job skill. Jesus would not qualify to come in Trump's country. And he would not qualify to get in Jesus' kingdom. I was hungry, you fed me. Naked, you clothed me. Captive set me free.
I don't even know what the last part of that has. What was the last part? I was hungry, you fed me. Oh, naked, you clothed me. Captive, you set me free. Well, okay, so Trump says you must be able to speak the English language. Right. Jesse Jackson, does he speak English? If Jesse Jackson in a foreign country, I don't know if under Trump's immigration plan, if he'd be admitted. And I guess Trump, Jesus wouldn't qualify to come. Does he mean that Jesus didn't speak English? Well, he's speaking to a group of ministers, so maybe that. But Jesus had a skill. Wasn't he a carpenter? I mean, so I think this is just, and this is where some of these criticisms are going. Listen to this. You know, Keith Olbermann, formerly of MSNBC, now he has his own rant program. This is his reaction to today's news. Listen to this.
The president of the United States is, in a way not truly seen since Woodrow Wilson a century ago, an active, belligerent, virulent white nationalist dedicated to rolling back the rights of and ruining the lives of Americans of color.
Okay, but here's the problem. These illegal immigrants that were being protected by DACA are not Americans. This is really important. Every country in the world that I know of has an immigration policy. You see this thing from Mexico? There's a 1:45 p.m. this afternoon. The Associated Press reported that Mexico deeply regrets Trump DACA decision. This is what Mexico had to say. It is undoubtedly the sole responsibility of U.S. citizens and institutions to determine U.S. immigration policy. But in the current situation, the Mexican government has a moral imperative to act. And it says that Mexico would provide legal defense services for any of its citizens affected by this. You know, I have a challenge for you. You know how people did the ice bucket thing? And I have a challenge for you. Or the cinnamon thing. Why don't you try to illegally enter Mexico? You know this. You know I love Mexico. I travel there all the time. So you know how difficult. Do you know how strict Mexico is? When you travel to Mexico, the police search your bags. entering the country. Normal. It doesn't even happen in Europe. When I go to Europe, Czech Republic, I very rarely get through. Every single bag, the police check. Every time I go. They check my passport three times. I have a challenge for you. Go to Mexico illegally. Raise your kids there and see what kind of sympathy and support you get from them. Every country from Sweden to Japan to Mexico to Russia to China to Saudi Arabia has an immigration policy, and they exclude aliens. That's what borders are for. We're in totally crazy land. I don't even know where we are. Okay. Don't go anywhere. I got to tell you about this Tinder date. You're not going to believe this. Don't go anywhere. We got the news up next here, John Wolf, and then I'll be back after this.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, coming to you from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. 1-800-222-5222 and sam@samnation.com is the email. All right, talking about DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Fancy way of saying kids who came with their parents. And they're all illegal. But back in 2012, Obama issued an executive order which allowed these children to apply for two-year renewal periods, where they basically could put a stay on getting deported. And one feature of it, too, was they could apply for work permits. And that's why, in part, I don't know if you saw the Apple story. Apple said, we have 250 dreamers who work for Apple, and we love them, and this is just awful. You know, there's a practical side to this. Almost all employers that you will talk to, almost all, virtually all of them, will always want a bigger labor pool. That's why business always favors illegal immigration and amnesty and more and more and more. Because what happens, the more workers you have, what? The more of anything you have, what? The price of it goes down, right? It's a supply and demand issue. Now, labor's no exception. So the more workers you have in the marketplace of labor, the lower wages are. This is great if you own a business. Not so good if you are a laborer, a blue-collar worker, factory worker, and the like, okay? So this is a little bit of – you got to get some understanding. Employers will always favor open borders. Employers will always favor backdoor amnesty, front-door amnesty, anything to expand the labor market. We have a caller. Let me get Dave in Whittier. Are you there?
Yes. Yes, Sam.
You're a big fan. Go ahead.
I want to test my Czechoslovakian. I have this hobby of learning how to say hello in different languages by asking different people that I meet, how do you say it in your language? So I'll try it, okay? Can I give it a try?
Okay.
It's ahoy.
Yeah, there you go. It's you speak either Czech or pirate. So
it's the
same. Ahoy, yes. Tell me about DACA. What are your thoughts?
Well, it includes these unaccompanied children, like, what, 30,000 that came in from the later part of 2014 through the spring of April of 2015. And that was horrendous. They came unaccompanied. No, and it was prompted by Obama promising amnesty. And so all these parents send their kids up. I mean, what a horrendous thing. And, you know, this thing has got to stop. I understand we should... I believe Rush Limbaugh's position. His position is that we should give a compromise. We don't want to send a bunch of crumb crunchers back who've lived here most of their life. I mean, what are they going to do?
But, well, let me hold on. Let's back up here. You raise an important point, and I want to address it, which is the unaccompanied minors. This was a result of DACA, and it created an incredibly dangerous situation on the border. For the very people that, in a sense, I presume, if I'm taking Obama at his word, the very people that he wanted to help. Because what happens is when you open a door And it's not a real door. It's not a legal door. It's not one that fulfills some sort of permanent promise of citizenship or permanent residency or whatnot. You say, well, we're kind of going to give this little gray area to kids who come over with parents. Well, the obvious loophole is, how do you prove that you came with your parents? You can always say, my parents were here and now they left back there and now I'm here. So what it did, practically speaking, is it allowed, and Dave is absolutely right. Dave, by the way, I've got to run. I'm so sorry. Running up against the clock. Thank you so much for calling in. But what Dave is saying is absolutely right, because, it created this moment in time where people saw that this was a loophole. And what do people do when there's a loophole? They exploit it. But it resulted in a tremendous number of young people sneaking across the border, for lack of a better way of putting it, and people died. Many people died. But I don't think they would have been crossing the border but for the enormous incentive that DACA provided. So this is something to think about. I think it cost lives. It really did. All right, I'm up against a hard break here. Got to go. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this.
Talk Radio
77790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, here with the pro tip on what to do when you get into a car accident. Don't do it alone. Don't try to do it on your own. Just hire a professional. It's that simple. You don't want to navigate these like labyrinths of insurance company hell all by yourself. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't answer their stupid questions. Just call attorney Sweet James Bergner and let him guide you through it. James has obtained over $400 million for his clients. He gets it done, okay? He knows how to do it. He knows what things to – how to present your case, how to make sure that everything's all buttoned up. And the end result is a real – first of all, peace of mind. You don't have to deal with it. And the other part of that, you're going to end up with more money, period. And, we know it's always about the money. So what do we do here? You call him, okay? Get some advice, get some direction, and make sure that you're doing everything the way you ought to. Car accidents, dog bites, slip and falls. Maybe you took a bad drug, some kind of a pill, and it made you sick. Whatever it is, call Sweet James, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation back live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And one more point about this, because we had a caller earlier and we were talking about DACA and some of the unintended effects. And one of the unintended effects was that, well, it was for children of illegal immigrants, right? And the idea was, of course, that if the children were born here, they would have been citizens by birth, right? So we're talking about kids that are brought into the country but have grown up here. And as Obama said, we don't want to punish them for the sins of their parents. Okay. One of the unintended consequences was that a lot of unaccompanied minors came up by themselves. Their families sent them, up here, and it was very dangerous, using human smugglers and that kind of thing. The other thing here, I think this actually was an intended consequence. What do you always hear proponents of amnesty saying? They're talking about divided families. You know this? Divided families. I see this all the time. And so what's going to happen here? So let's say there's a new amnesty bill that grants permanent residency to DACA persons. So it's – the kids are going to stay, but the parents get deported. I don't think it's going to go there. I think that eventually what will happen is the argument will start – everybody gets to stay. Because we have to be compassionate. We have to be humane. And then what ends up happening is everyone who came over illegally gets to stay. We really have to decide what we do. I can tell you what's not sustainable. What's not sustainable is a blanket amnesty every, 15 to 20 years, or an amnesty, a de facto amnesty, by not enforcing our immigration laws. And having a massively open border to the south of us, through which people want to come here because our country, of course, has a much brighter economic future than do the countries south of us. And that's what makes, you know, that's what makes this thing, you know, Mexico deeply regrets Trump DACA decision. They actually put out, Mexico puts out a press release saying they're going to fight. They're going to fight. They're going to give money to their people that are here, to their citizens, to fight the Trump administration, to fight America, the American government, to stay. And it's, you know, well, of course, they're doing it. You want to know. You understand? There's an enormous flow of money that goes from the U.S. because virtually every person that is here from Mexico has family back in Mexico, and they send them some amount of support. It's a very common thing. Mexico thrives. The Mexican economy is thriving from these dollars flowing south. They are. I mean, this is. But the absurdity, I'm just telling you, try to be an illegal immigrant in Mexico. It's no bueno. I'll tell you that right now. They are going to find you. They will arrest you. They will put you in jail and they will deport you in that order. And they'll do it toot sweet. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. I've got that Tinder story. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Talk Radio.
KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right. There is a story both in the New York Post and the Sun about a woman who ends her Tinder date stuck in a window trying to grab her own poop. Now, this is a case for James Bergner, maybe. I don't know. No, who has the case? Let's go through the facts. This gentleman goes on Tinder and goes on a first date with a young lady, and they end up at his place to do a little Netflix and chill. At some point, the young woman goes to the restroom. This is in Bristol, England. So I don't know if they don't have very good plumbing or what the problem was here in the apartment, but apparently when she went to flush the toilet, it didn't work. I don't know. So she panicked. I don't know if she was intoxicated or what the deal was, but she decided to what was in the toilet to take it out and throw it out the window. The only problem was is there was like this double window thing. You know, cold climate places have this. They'll have old buildings before they had thermal glass. They would have double windows. Anyway, what she threw out the window became stuck in between the two windows and it just fell down this long gap. Not good. So she offered first to go and retrieve it, which I think is the sensible thing to do, right? I mean, if you throw poo, I think you need to go and it gets stuck somewhere. I think it's common decency to go get it. At any rate, she was not successful because her arms weren't long enough anyway. So her date, right, the guy, the owner of the apartment's like, well, fine, I'm going to do it. By the way, would you ever? No way. I wouldn't, no pun intended, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Anyway, he goes down into the gap and gets stuck because he's a bigger guy, gets stuck in between the window upside down. There are pictures of him with his feet flailing up in the air. And I think 7 or 8 firefighters had to show up. They end up having to break his window. So he has damages. He's probably injured, although he put himself into harm's way. I don't know. Next time we got Sweet James here, we'll have to ask him, does this man have a case? So I guess only on Sam Nation do we go from DACA to CACA in no time flat. Anyway, I'm not even going to say that, Robbie. That's funny, but I'm not going to say it. You're right, though. Absolutely. So to sum all this up, you know, Tinder, I totally missed the entire Tinder thing. I was married at 25, and that was a long time ago. And no Tinder when I was dating. I'm really grateful for that because as I look at some of these nightmare stories, when you end up with a total stranger like that on a regular basis, you know, night after, something's bound to go wrong. Absolutely wrong. Okay. Well, listen, it's a short week this week, but we're going to be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. No doubt. We got to get into North Korea. We got to talk about that and follow up on more of this Trump hatred. There's good stuff out there. Trust me. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back tomorrow.